Is the state's open records law being used to muzzle critics of government policies? Our guest in this half hour says it has been used that way, but it should not. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Friday, April the 1st. Our guest is a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison, and he says that an open records request directed at one of his colleagues at UW-Madison, history professor William Cronin, is an effort at political intimidation because Cronin was publicly critical of Governor Walker's administration. Now, the Republican Party of Wisconsin is, through the open records law, asking to see all of Professor Cronin's emails on this subject or related subjects. And our guest is calling on the Republican Party to withdraw the request. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Donald Downs. He co-authored an opinion piece that ran this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying the efforts against Cronin are dangerous and troubling and have nothing to do with exposing corruption in government. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Now, Professor Downs, for those who haven't read all of the information about this particular case, give us a little bit of background in William Cronin's situation. He wrote some things that were critical of the Walker administration, and now he's paying the price?
Right. Well, he wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times, I guess about 10 days ago or so, in which he criticized what was going on in the state and was talked about sort of orchestrated campaigns nationally to do the kinds of things that Scott Walker has done. And then he wrote a piece on his blog in which he made more specific allegations about particular groups involved. And apparently that disturbed members of the Republican Party, and understandably so. I mean, this is a very politicized issue right now. And so they asked it through the open records law to look at all his emails that pertain to individuals and topics related to that subject, mm-hmm. basically the budget bill.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, the last thing that Howard Schwaber and I were trying to do is to say there shouldn't be open record laws. Obviously, open record laws are a very important part of democracy and meant to prevent corruption in government. But like any other important law or any important right like freedom of speech, there's a line in which they can be abused. And there has been a pattern over the last few years for people either to sometimes use open records laws to disturb or perhaps even intimidate people that are taking certain public positions, or maybe simply to harass programs. There's some programs on campus that have been inundated with open records requests, in my view, sometimes simply with the motive of making it more difficult for those programs to do their job. Mm. So, you know, it can cross the line.
What's the difference between, say, the Associated Press and the Isthmus newspaper in Madison using the open records law to ask for all of the emails that Governor Walker's office had received in relationship to the collective bargaining law and this particular request?
Yeah, well, I think there are two differences. I mean, one has to do with the one big difference, and that is the issue of academic freedom at the university. Now, we have to be careful. You know, we're not saying that, you know, professors are superior or our work is so important that we deserve special unjustified protections under the law. But when someone writes a piece dealing with a matter of public interest, and if that piece especially is related to, you know, work that a person has done as an academic, if the open records law is used in a way, in a very public way by, you know, a political party, which is sort of linked to power, that can intimidate, can discourage that person from making honest opinions about matters of public importance, and that can have an impact on academic freedom. Now, academic freedom is not absolute. It does have its limits. And in many respects, faculty members should be subject to the same kind of scrutiny as other persons in society and other political figures. But if this gets to the point where academic people writing about something in their domain of research, and Cronin has dealt with a lot of political issues in the state, then that could discourage academic freedom. And that would be a loss not only for the university, but for the state as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Here's a statement from the Republican Party of Wisconsin regarding the criticism it has received for filing this open records request. Further, it is chilling to see that so many members of the media would take up the cause of a professor who seeks to squash a lawful open records request, saying that Professor Cronin is trying to put pressure on the Republican Party to stop this. Taxpayers have a right to accountable government and a right to know if public officials are conducting themselves in an ethical manner. Goes on, but you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, is Professor Cronin a public official? He is an employee of the state, but he's a particular kind of employee of the state. He's employed to do his research, to teach, and to offer professional opinions about matters of public importance that are related to his field. And that's where the issue of academic freedom does come into play. So I think there has to be a distinction here. If a professor offers an opinion about, say the professor is a professor of American politics, and offers an opinion about some aspect of political party behavior, and writes an op-ed about it, and the next thing you know, a political party is asking to look at all his emails that have to do any kind of course with something he might have said to a colleague in an email about this issue. That seems to be a really prying into the thinking process that goes behind rendering an opinion or forming an opinion. And I know a lot of people that are going to be afraid to offer that kind of discussion or get into that kind of discussion with their colleagues and formulating an opinion because of their concern about just that prying into their own kind of private correspondence.
Yeah.
And now, granted, if they do it through the email system of the University of Wisconsin, it's not entirely private, so it does get a little gray in there. But under the law, even if it were done with a completely private email system like Gmail or Hotmail, it would still be subject to the law. And so it's almost like saying, you're walking down the hall and you're having a discussion with your friend about what's going on with the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. You wouldn't want that to be made public either. There's an awful lot of things that go into the thinking process behind the formulation of ideas that people just don't want to be made public, or they're going to end up being quiet.
And you in the piece that ran earlier this week, it wasn't just the Republican Party going after Professor Cronin. You say it goes the other way, too, that there was a professor who was doing some work with what is considered to be a conservative think tank, and there was attempts to get his emails, too.
Yeah, and there's other cases as well. So this has been a bipartisan thing. I have a colleague that back in the 1990s was working on issues concerning school vouchers. And the same kind of request was made of him by this time a conservative group. And I don't want to get into details on the phone here, but I know of individuals who run blogs and things like that who have inundated various programs on campus with these kinds of requests. And in my view, largely just to make it more difficult for them to do their jobs because they don't really like the kind of research that's being done. They don't like the conclusions that are being reached.
But again, a media request to a government official like the Associated Press asking Governor Walker's office for his
right.
emails related to a controversial issue when he says that that most of them were in favor of him. That's a legitimate use of the open records law in your mind?
Well, you're dealing with a person who's the governor of the state and a political official. And if you look at the open records law, it seems to be that it applies more to individuals like that, people who do hold offices of public trust as opposed to simply being teachers.
Our guest is Donald Downs, a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. He, along with UW-Madison professor Howard Schwaber, were co-authors of an opinion piece that ran earlier this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in which they said that the open records law in Wisconsin should not be used to muzzle critics, that it should not be used as an effort of political intimidation, and thought that we are seeing a case where that is happening, with the Republican Party of Wisconsin asking a UW-Madison history professor for all of his emails because the UW-Madison history professor wrote some pieces and was doing some research that was critical of the Walker administration. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be a cloudy, cool day today, some light rain and snow. Highs today, 38 to 48 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, April the 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. We will talk with two guests from different political perspectives about all the top political news stories of the week in our regular Friday Week in Review. It's the Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, talking with Donald Downs, professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison, who says that a recent open records request directed at a UW-Madison professor that was critical of the Walker administration is an effort at political intimidation. And Larry in Stevens Point is with us. Hello, Larry.
Good morning. I agree with your guest completely on the academic freedom issue. My question he touched on a little bit is I retired nearly 10 years ago after 30 years at UW-Stevens Point. We were always urged on anything political, actually ordered, to not use university resources, in particular university email. And if I had had my own account at my home, a Gmail account or whatever it might be, is that subject to the open meetings? That's a scary thought.
Yeah, well, apparently it is. The people I've talked to about this matter that have been involved with working with the law have told me that, yes, indeed, it does apply to that. And let me add that you're absolutely right in terms of using state resources like WISC email for partisan political purposes. So if I use that email to contact some friends of mine to say we have a rally tonight for in favor of Walker or against Walker or whatever, that would be an improper use of that. But using it to talk to people and get resources to make an argument or a comment about a matter of public importance, that to me is not the same thing as using it for partisan political purposes. So you have to really draw a distinction there.
Yeah, and we don't know if Professor Cronin on his email was talking about going to a rally.
Right. Well, that would be if that were the nature of the request, then that might be a different situation. You still have to take in consideration the academic freedom point, but the academic freedom point is not necessarily a trump card, depending upon what's in the emails.
Yeah. And
the concern here is the scope of this and the context of this. You know, why not just respond to Professor Cronin in an op-ed yourself? Or the Republican Party could issue a press release, like apparently the Dane County Republican Party has in the last couple of days about these matters. That's another way you can do it.
Well, and your point being is that the open records request came to Cronin following he wrote a piece that was on the American Legislative Exchange Council, and that would certainly be in the purview of his field of expertise.
Well, and, I think, yeah, not if not directly, but at least certainly within the purview, within the ambit.
Yeah, and then another piece where he looked historically at the state of Wisconsin and politics, and that one was more openly critical of Governor Walker.
Well, let me add very quickly, too. I mean, there are two remedies here. I mean, one would be, or maybe three remedies. But one is to have a reading of the statute that does treat people that are public elected officials and people in positions of power differently from people who are just, say, you know, regular faculty members. Not that faculty members would be immune, but there'd be a different standard. And the second is, you do weigh the academic freedom issue into it. The third is that maybe there is no legal remedy to this, because this is a sort of a new area that we're talking about. So that would mean that the remedy, rather than the law, protecting someone like Cronin, the remedy is public criticism of the way that the request is being motivated or being used. Now, that's difficult to ascertain, but to me, it's just like the Supreme Court case a couple weeks ago about the church that does protests at military funerals. It's a very bad exercise of free speech. They have a right to do it, however, but that doesn't mean that they're immune from criticism for what they do. And I would say that the same thing could apply here. So the remedy might be criticism rather than using some sort of legal tool.
Sandy in Algoma is with us. Hello, Sandy.
Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to say that I believe wholeheartedly that's exactly why they have done this. They want to intimidate. Scott Walker has used intimidation and other threatening types of actions against the public since he got into office, threatening to call up the National Guard, trying to keep people from assembling peacefully in the Capitol. He's used to getting his own way, and he thinks that he should be able to do whatever he wants. He's a sad, sorry little man, and he's got little man syndrome.
I'm not sure we should be doing that kind of.
Yeah, it's beyond the purview of what we're here.
Yeah, we're not talking about all those other things right now.
And I would like to say that my position, which should be, I would hope that people that were even pro Walker supporters would at least take our Schwaber and my position seriously, even if they'd end up disagreeing with us. To me, this is a nonpartisan issue, and we made a very careful point to talk about how this potential misuse has come from the left as well as the right.
Yeah, the Republican Party did release this response to what it sees as a sort of a campaign to put pressure on it. To withdraw the request. You would like the Republican Party to withdraw this request, right, Professor Downs?
Yes, or at the very least fine tune it more rather than making it a fishing expedition. Mm. But it'd be best if they withdrew it and dealt with Cronin on the merits of his argument rather than prying into the thinking process went behind the comments.
Yeah, and it was critical of the effort to the put pressure on the Republican Party, but also said, like anyone else who makes an open records request in Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin does not have to give a reason for doing so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think that you can. I don't think the law can take into consideration what the motives are.
Mm-hmm.
We can make reasonable surmises about the motives and then make public arguments about that, but I don't think the law itself can really do that. So I guess I'm with the Republicans on that one.
David in Boscobel is with us. Hello, David.
Hello. I have just a bit of a disagreement with how Professor Cronin may have gone about that, and that is, I presume in the op-ed piece, he used his title and position at the University of Wisconsin, as a signature to the op-ed, as opposed to saying, John Doe from Madison, Wisconsin, submitted an op-ed piece to the New York Times. That certainly his position and title, he's using that, to lend credibility to his op-ed piece. And therefore, I think you make choices and you somewhat open yourself up to issues like this.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I think I'd probably disagree with you about that particular use of it. But I see where you're coming from. And if Cronin would have said, it would imply that he was speaking for the university, then I think you'd be right on. And then the other extreme is he's just speaking as Bill Cronin, everyday citizen. And there, I think that would be a much cleaner situation. By saying that it's Professor Bill Cronin, that is sort of in a gray area, but I would go the direction of saying that I would still consider it not speaking as a public official.
Mike in Madison is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I just had a quick comment that I'm a newer state employee, and the first thing they tell you is everything you write in email is subject to open records. So if you're in the process of doing something, a thought process, phone or take notes, have a meeting, mm-hmm. but if anything's in email, you know it up front. So, and if they do an open records request, if you did abide by your work rules with your email, you probably have nothing to worry about. So I'm not quite sure what the problem is.
Yeah, I see your point, but again, I'm not trying to get into special pleading for faculty members, because I would apply the same thing to anyone that wrote a public comment like this. that is not the same thing as just doing communications pursuant to your everyday job. So I think it's sort of apples and oranges.
Yeah, and again, though, how does this really chill academic freedom when, you know, when professors know the rules too?
Yeah, well, it would make it more difficult if I wanted to write about something that's controversial. Actually, in my own work, every book I've written has been controversial, and it's always about a matter of some legal and public controversy. And if I knew that the Republican Party, or the Democratic Party, or you know some other institution like that could pry into all the emails that I'd ever used to correspond to anyone that I ended up interviewing for the book, or anyone that I talked to give me information for the book. In other words, that the whole thinking process via email that went into making that book, and I've you know, hundreds of emails, maybe thousands,
mm-hmm.
that could all be open to public scrutiny, that's really could potentially put a real cramp into how I pursue the research. And it might make me reluctant to say certain things to certain people that were utterly appropriate to be said.
Did you get any response to your piece from the Republican Party?
No.
Yeah. No. Well, we thank you for your time. Thanks very much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Donald Downs, professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. By the way, I believe we sent history professor Cronin an email asking if he'd like to be on the program, and we have been trying to get him and line him up. If he's listening right now, we'd love to talk to you, Professor Cronin. I know you're pretty busy these days. Thanks very much to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Chris Molina for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.